This is the West Point Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us online this week. If you'd like to give or support West Point Church in any way, you can visit westpoint.org/give. We hope you enjoy today's message and have a great rest of your week.
This morning, we are continuing our message series called Jesus and Politics. Right, and we started this series, and some of you, I think, audibly gasped when I said that that was going to be the title of our message series. But we're talking about the things that are most relevant to our world today, the things that are so important in our culture, and walking through those things as we head toward a season where everybody in our nation is divided. Where everybody is split, and we as the church, we don't have to be divided because we're united on Christ. We can disagree in our politics. We can disagree with things that don't matter as much as long as we keep the main thing, the focus, and that's that we have faith in Jesus Christ. And so this week we're going to continue in that series in our second week. And if one thing is absolutely clear in our world today, it's that our world has lost its collective mind, right? I'm sure you're aware this week that the first presidential debate is on, I think it's on Tuesday evening. One of our Supreme Court justices has just passed away. We're in the middle of a global pandemic, and everybody and their mother has an opinion about something or someone, right? And so what we need to do as a church is learn how to filter through all that noise and all the things and all the yelling and all the screaming, and really interpret what God's word has to say to us as believers. This morning, we're going to talk about the topic of discernment. And this is something that is so important for every believer. And the Bible has a lot to say on this topic. And I want us to look at what God's word has to say. And I want to share some lessons that I've learned on this important topic as well. Now, most of the time, the way that I preach is we start with a passage of Scripture, and we kind of build that message around one passage. But today, we're going to take a little bit different approach as we look at this kind of topically. And we're going to take a look at a bunch of different passages. We're going to look at a bunch of different proverbs. And the cool thing about proverbs are they kind of stand alone. They're a saying that's meant to be like stated by itself, not necessarily in the context of Scripture. And so it makes it a little bit easier for us to do that. But we're going to look at some other Scripture passages as well today. What I'd encourage you to do as we're doing this, it's not the normal way that maybe we go about studying Scripture, but jot down these Scripture references this morning so that you can take them and look at them during the week and study God's Word for yourself and understand what it means to be a discerning person. And because that's something that God wants for you as a believer. So I want to give you four things about discernment this morning that will kind of help you in the process. And they come straight from God's word. They're really scriptural principles here. And so the first one is to establish a baseline. Now that might seem like a simple enough statement, right? But believing that there is truth in our world is something that you will get pushback against as a believer. When we say that there is a right and there is a wrong, that there is truth in our world, there's absolute truth, we are going to be stepping on some toes as believers. But we know that God has given us his word and that his word is truth, and that we believe that God's word is the basis for establishing what's right and what's wrong. Now, as long as humans have existed, we've wrestled with interpreting God's word. And there are certainly areas that are not so clear, right? There are areas where Christians disagree, and that's okay. But even though we have disagreement among godly people, we can still be in unity together. We can still walk in agreement with certain principles and certain beliefs that we hold to be important. And in our world where everybody has a different opinion on what's right or what's wrong, or even if there is right or wrong, I want us to know that God's word is the foundation for what we believe. And it needs to be that baseline. It needs to be established as truth in our hearts. Now, one of the things about interpreting Scripture that's really important is that we need to understand that there is only one correct interpretation of God's word. And can I tell you something? None of us have it completely. All right? As we're studying God's word and we're wrestling with it and learning from it, I think we need to first take the approach of humility in saying that none of us get it completely, that none of us have it exactly right, except for me. My theology is perfect. If you want to know what the right thing is, you can just ask me and I'll let you know. No, I'm just kidding. There is no perfect understanding of Scripture. It was meant to be wrestled with. It was meant to be learned from. And one of the approaches that I've taken as I've studied God's Word and as I've grown older, it's just the willingness to approach God's Word and to say, okay, God, I'm willing for you to show me something new today that I didn't understand or that I didn't get before. And I think that that just effort of humility is so important as we approach God's word. In fact, Proverbs 30, verse 5 says this, "Every word of God proves true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him." So we know that his word is truth, but coming to the conclusion of exactly what he means when he says something is something that we wrestle with. Romans 3, 2 through 4 says it this way, "Much in every way, to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you're judged." So basically, this passage of Scripture is saying, listen, God entrusted the law to the people of Israel. He gave it to them. His law was perfect. His law was good, but they messed it up. Does that mean that God is a liar because we as humans continually take his word and abuse it and mess it up? No. His word is true despite our failures. Can I tell you something that is absolutely true? People will fail you over and over and over and over again. If our history in our country hasn't shown you that, you probably weren't studying the same textbooks that I was, right? Because we have failure after failure in our nation, people that have fallen short of what God intended for them. But can I tell you something? People's failure doesn't speak to the faithfulness of God. That's why we can be confident studying his word and knowing what he's given us is truth. So the first thing, establish a baseline. Understand that there is truth. Understand that there is something that God has given us to base our life on. The second thing is to seek understanding over confirmation. Proverbs 18:2 says this, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." I'll tell you what. That is something that we as a culture, as a country right now, should take to heart, right? A fool has no interest in understanding. He just wants to express his own opinion. And how many of us would be honest and say, yeah, I fall into that trap sometimes, right? I'm less concerned about understanding the bigger picture and about understanding where someone else is coming from than making sure that everybody knows what I'm thinking. Psalm 119:66 says it this way, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments." You know, this passage of Scripture, it says, "Teach me good judgment." That word judgment is the same word that's translated taste in other areas of the Bible. The Hebrew word there is the same word that's used as taste. So we're almost talking about judgment here like a palate, right? To be able to understand what tastes good and what doesn't. Now, I watch a lot of cooking shows. I don't know if anybody else is like me, but I love cooking shows, and I love explaining how they come up with all these different recipes and how they make food taste good and how they get the balance between the different ingredients. And one of the keys to being a good chef, to being able to cook well, is to understand flavor and to understand different cuisines. And really, the best chefs are ones that have an experienced palate, because the first step to making something good is to being able to taste what is good. and different cuisines all over the world have different expressions. They have different things that are that make them special. Like French cooking, for example, is all about technique, right? Italian cooking, it's all about having the best and the freshest ingredients. Indian food is about big spices and bold flavors, and Japanese food is about this kind of umami flavor. And all of those things are different expressions, and the best chefs understand how to make those flavors work. Anybody in here have kids that like bland, boring food? Nothing is worse. I'm telling you right now, when I go through the preparation of making this meal and I spend hours working on it, and it's like I've poured my heart and soul into this meal, and my kids pick it up on their fork, and before they even put it in their mouth, they've already decided that it's absolutely disgusting to them. Anybody relate to that, parents, right? Like, you've been there before. You've experienced that because the kids have not had enough experience in life to develop their palate yet. And so their taste is, they would rather have Kraft macaroni and cheese than the delicious meal that you prepared. Can I tell you something? If someone says, oh, Domino's pizza, that's really too spicy for me, you probably don't want to trust their recommendations for a restaurant, right? They haven't developed that palate yet. You know, another way this is important to me is my coffee, right? Anybody in here serious coffee drinkers? Like, I have to have freshly brewed coffee. I grind it fresh the morning I brew it. I have coffee that's been roasted within a week of when I'm brewing it, and it has to be brewed between 195 and 204 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not kidding. And it's, I mean, because that is what produces the optimal cup of coffee. And some of you might be like, well, you know, I've had my Folgers for 40 years and that's good enough for me. Can I tell you something? You're missing out! Right? Because there's more to be experienced in a cup of coffee than that grossness. You know, the same thing works with our understanding as we experience life and hear different opinions and understand from other people, we have a better understanding of what good judgment is. It's that same principle. Proverbs 2:2-5 says this, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, search for it as hidden treasures, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now that sounds like a lot of work. But can I tell you something? You're never going to have an understanding of God and his nature and his character unless you seek it out, unless you're hungry for it, unless you pursue that incredible wisdom that comes from God. So I mentioned already that we don't want to just pursue one source of information and one source of understanding. And this is true in our political world today. If you listen to one news network, right, you're going to have a slanted view of things, right? And it doesn't matter which one you listen to or which one you watch. Almost all of these networks and news sources have other objectives in mind. And so it's important to hear and diversify your understanding and to listen to both sides. Not that you need to change your opinion based on what everybody else says, but you at least need to hear what else is out there so that you can properly evaluate it and test it. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get into this. But not just one source, also not just any source. Okay, if you're getting most of your information and news and important things about our world today and what you believe from Facebook memes, that's probably a bad idea. You know what? They're not all accurate. In fact, they're not even held to the highest standard of journalism, which isn't very high in this country. Okay? So don't, you know, be careful about what you're allowing to speak to you, about what you're allowing to believe. And when you see something that looks interesting or that looks fascinating or that looks shocking, maybe do a little bit of research first before you hit that share button. Just a thought. Just throwing it out there. You can take that or leave it, okay? The other thing is you should get some of your information from real conversations with real people. Not just on the news, not just crazy people on Facebook or Twitter. Like, talk to real people. Have real conversations with real people. Can I tell you something? Nothing has done more to shape and mold my views and my politics and the things that I think in our world today than talking with real people, with real struggles, with real issues, and hearing what they have to say. And you know what? In order to do that effectively and in order to gain understanding, you actually have to listen. You have to listen to what they have to say. You have to hear. Not just listening so that you know what points you can argue with when they're done. Right? But listen to understand. And you might have to go out of your way to find somebody with different views than you have. Right? In your family, in your inner circle, you might have a lot of people that think exactly the same way you do. You might be the only one that thinks the way that you do. But it's important to hear different opinions, and it's important to hear different ideas. Not that you adopt them all, but that you gain perspective and understanding in the process. Remember, fools are only interested in letting people hear their own opinion. The wise person seeks understanding. Third thing is to filter everything through Scripture and prayer. Scripture and prayer. So when you hear something and you think that's a convincing argument, that sounds good. Does it line up with the Word of God? That's step one, right? And I can't emphasize this enough. God's Word is our ultimate authority, okay? We've already kind of stated that this morning, but I want to be completely clear on that because the thing is that your feelings can be deceived, your feelings can be manipulated, and if you don't have a baseline of God's Word as the foundational truth for what you believe, you're going to be blown by the wind. Your emotions are going to trick you. They're going to deceive you. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." Okay, so God's word is stable, it's consistent, and it's truth. And it's the only thing in this world that's really like that. Luke 16:17 says it this way, "But it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void." You know, I'm going to say this, and I want you to hear this, okay? What you feel doesn't matter if it contradicts Scripture. Sorry. Like, if you're feeling something, but it goes against what God's Word says, your feelings are wrong. And, you know, I will say this, as Pentecostals, we are kind of guilty of this sometimes. We get wrapped up in emotions, and our emotions are so important because they drive us to do the incredible things that God is doing all around the world through the Assemblies of God, through Pentecostal churches. Churches are exploding all around this world because of the passion and the heart and the emotion behind what we do. But sometimes, if you're not careful, your emotions can lead you astray. They can manipulate what you think. And so discernment is a skill that's practiced. Hebrews 5:11 through 14 says it this way, "About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles and the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Can I tell you something? If you expect to exercise discernment and to look at the situations that are going on in our world and approach it with wisdom and approach it with understanding from God's word, then you need to study his word so that those principles are so deeply embedded in your heart that you will have the ability to look at the situation and see the truth of God's word and understand in the middle of that exactly what is good and right and what is wrong and manipulative. Discernment is a skill that is practiced. Okay, fourth thing and last thing this morning that we're going to look at. Be critical without being crazy. All right, now I'm going to say that again. Fourth key to discernment is to be critical without being crazy. Now, when I say be critical, I don't mean be critical in the fact that you're criticizing everyone else and everyone else's opinion, but to think critically, right? Ephesians 5, 6 through 10 says this, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." So that's God's instruction to us, to not get wrapped up in all the junk of our world and all the things that are trying to manipulate us and lead us astray, but to focus on things that are good and true and try to discern what God's plan is for us. Discern what is pleasing to him. Now, most of you know this about me. I am a referee. I referee three different sports. Right now is soccer season, and I've had a lot of games lately. And I'll tell you something about referees. Despite what you might believe, we do not care necessarily about who wins the game. We just want to get the calls right. And I know, like, you thought, well, referees are all idiots. And I know that because I hear that every time I step on the field to referee. You know, there are a lot of things that make a referee a good referee. You have to know the rules. But more than that, more than just knowing what a foul is and being able to blow a whistle, you have to know how to manage a game. You have to know the rules really well. You have to be in position to make the right call. You know, in a soccer game, I typically run about 5.5 to 6 miles in one game to be in the right position. You have to learn how to manage people. When you have somebody that's angry or upset, you have to learn how to talk to them to de-escalate the situation. You also have to learn to work with a team, your partners, and you have to trust the people that you're working with as well. You know, the same principles hold true to this idea of discernment. If you want to get it right, you have to put yourself in a position to succeed. You have to know God's word. You have to have understanding. You have to have it deep inside your heart so that when something comes up that doesn't sound right or that doesn't feel right, or maybe it does feel right, but you can look at it with discernment. You can look at it from the perspective of understanding God's word and knowing what it means, knowing what truth is. You can have experience in praying through things and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit in areas where Scripture isn't clear. When you're prepared, when you go through that process, when it comes to that difficult decision, odds are you're going to make the right decision. That is what it takes. 1 John 4:1 says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Can I tell you something? You know, the most dangerous false prophets out there are the ones that have a lot of truth mixed in with their message. I've heard it described this way before, that discernment isn't necessarily being able to tell right from wrong. It's being able to discern right from almost right. Right? There are things that we hear that sound good, that fit with our ideology and our values, and having discernment is knowing God's word well enough to say, you know what? Even though that has a ring of truth to it, I see the flaws in that. I see how the enemy is using this to deceive people and manipulate people. And in this idea of thinking critically and discerning and not believing everything, we also need to not be so critical, right, that we think everybody is evil and everybody is against us and everybody is trying to harm us. You know, not only do we need to look for the things that are wrong and the things that are manipulative, but we also need to look for things that are good and excellent and true and honest. Can I tell you something? There are a lot of people in our world today that are trying to pursue the things of God and are trying to do the right thing, and they might not get it right every single time, but we don't have to be so cynical that we think that everybody is manipulating us and that everybody is lying to us. When you go down that path, you start to see things in every corner, right? You start to see things that aren't even there. And sometimes it's the idea of, let's test the fruit of what we're seeing. Let's see if what comes out of this person's life is good and honest and true. Philippians 1:9-10 says this, and it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Those two things can't be separated, right? You can't have just discernment and no love. And you can't have love without discernment. They have to work in conjunction with one another for us to be healthy as believers, for us to discern the truth. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Now, that is a challenging prospect. You know, as we've been talking about this, one of the questions that we asked last week is, what is even the believer's role in our very politically charged world? Do we just avoid the whole thing and step back? Do we get super involved and invested in that? Is that the key to turning things around in this country? You know, I think, like with most things, the answer lies somewhere in the middle. Yeah, we need to keep our hand on the pulse of our nation. We need to be involved. We need godly people in office. We need godly people to stand with our leaders and pray for our leaders. But we don't need to be so involved in our political world that all the decisions that we make are manipulated by who's in office or by what decisions or what laws are passed. You know that the church began to grow under the Roman government, where they were trying to hunt down Christians and kill them, and that was this incredible explosion that happened in the church. God is not dependent on the American government to do what he wants to do in our world. He needs godly people who are faithful to him, who will seek him first. And regardless of what happens in our world, as we're faithful in those things, he'll honor that. So let's be patient. Let's trust in this time. Let's look to Christ for our direction. We're just going to close with a prayer this morning, and I'm just going to ask that God would give us discernment. You know, there are a lot of things in our world, a lot of different beliefs, even within the church right now, about what is right and what is wrong. And I believe that we just need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to read God's word and to understand it and let it be that foundational principle for us. And I want to pray that for each one of you this morning as we close.